Tonight's forum is called Dialogue on the Secret Government, U.S. Involvement in Central America, and it's been scheduled in response to the films that have been showing during the mid part of the day. How many here have seen those films, or some of them? A good share of you have seen those. So I assume that you have some opinions or questions from those, and so we'll be asking you to share some of those. I think what I'd like to do first, though, is to start with a brief word of prayer. Please join me. Gracious, loving God, be with us here this evening. Help us to have ears that listen and voices that speak clearly and sincerely. Be with us as a community together. Help us to know a sense of difference and a sense of commonality. Help us as we struggle with hard issues. In your name we pray, amen. I'd like to just start to see if there are any particular responses people have. Some of you, I know some staff people are here that have seen the films maybe more than once or maybe a long time ago, or some of you have just seen them this week. So I'd just like to open it, first of all, to questions or reactions, responses. If not, we have some plans. Planted response.
Well, I guess my response would be that I was shocked and, just shocked at the involvement that the CIA appears to have in the evil doings of the drug trafficking and the killing of people in third world countries. And it appears that the CIA has a direct involvement there, if you believe what you see on the screen. Of course, that's rather confusing.
What's confusing?
Well, I don't know how much that to believe.
Uh-huh. So that was new news to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there
This surprised me too, because Nancy Reagan was working so much against the drug traffic, apparently, and still the president was all for exchanging it, bringing it back in. That didn't make sense to me at all. Mm-hmm.
Do you want
to
go ahead?
Maybe we should leave it in. For those people who haven't seen them, I don't know if we should even say what they're even talking about.
Sure. Are there people here that are, why don't we have Barry just briefly say what we're talking about?
Can you talk a lot?
Yeah. For those of you, it's going to be probably difficult. We discussed when we started talking about this forum about how to do this, and we probably aren't going to be able to spend a lot of time sharing information during this time. The forum sort of came out of the sense of need for people to have a chance to talk about those videos. So if you haven't seen them, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to sort of present what was in them. That the purpose of this forum is in sort of a unique way of holding a chance to talk about something that people have already seen. But just to give you a very, very brief synopsis, we've seen three videos this week. The first one was a Bill Moyers special entitled "The Secret Government, the Constitution in Crisis," and basically begins, it's been some time since I've seen them actually myself, but he begins with looking at primarily focusing on the National Security Act of 1947 and how since that time increasingly U.S. foreign policy has been carried out outside of the public realm. It's sort of, the argument is that the world is such that we cannot afford to let people know what we're really doing, and they just have to know that we know what's best. And so There is basically documenting all sorts of events in history, our history since that time especially, but even sometimes before that, including the coup, the invasion of Guatemala in the 50s, and then more recently things related to Vietnam and some of the stuff that's come out years later in terms of our involvement in Laos. Those kinds of things that are carried on primarily by the CIA, but also by other groups sometimes that aren't even directly employed by the United States. Aren't official employees, but are paid by the government. On Tuesday, we followed that with a video called The Shadow Government, The Men Behind the Iran-Contra Scandal. And that is a video put out by the Christic Institute, which is a public interest law firm in Washington, D.C. It's an interfaith public law firm, I might add. And they have recently brought to court over 25 different people who they have fairly, this is the entire affidavit here if anybody's interested. That includes people like Richard Secord, Oliver North, and others who they claim have been involved in assassination plots and so on for 25 years, beginning in Laos in the early 60s, actually beginning before that, but that's where the main one was, and coming all the way up through Nicaragua and involvement in the Iran-Contra. And it's one group of people who seem to always be connected with each other, and that court, that is now being appealed in federal court. Today was a frontline program, a PBS program, entitled Guns, Drugs, and the CIA, again connected but implicating the CIA in the running of drugs from Central America to the United States, and most of those profits then going to fund the Contra forces fighting against the government in Nicaragua. Especially during the time that Congress cut off that funding, then some of the main sources of funding were coming from the drug running. And there's strong evidence, and you probably are familiar with John Kerry, who's a senator from Massachusetts, who's the chair of the subcommittee in Congress, or in the Senate now, that's investigating that whole thing. And more and more and more evidence keeps coming out that the CIA, basically arms would be flown down in planes and drugs would be put on the same planes and sent back up. That's what we're talking about. Obviously, there's a lot more information than that, and I think probably we need to spend the rest of the time then sort of reacting and responding and see if people have questions. How's that?
Great, thanks. Yes?
Just by way of a question, the indictment was brought at what level jurisdiction in Florida?
It's in Miami Federal Court. The history of that case is one in which I think it was a little over 2 years ago that it was actually formally brought to court. There have been several motions on the part of the defendants to dismiss all charges, and each of those times the judge has said, no, there is definitely enough evidence to bring this to trial, and has resisted that. Then 4 days before the trial was supposed to begin in June of this past June, all of a sudden, completely by surprise, the judge dismissed the charges. Four days before the trial was supposed to begin.
I think someone threatened him with assassination.
Well, I don't know, and no one's going to try to take those kind of charges. I mean, there have been accusations of political, and I'm saying, wait till the election's over before this trial is brought to bear. It's now in the appeal process, and from what I know, and I'm not a lawyer, there's a fairly strong case for an appeal. So that's where it stands right now. It has not actually started. The trial has not actually started. It's now in the appeal process.
Does anybody know who the appellate judges are?
I don't. No, not in this case.
What kind of history they have. Who were they appointed by?
I have no idea. At this point, this is pretty recent news, so I don't know.
I'm trying to get a handle on this, so this is maybe oversimplifying it, but I'm asking you if this summary is correct. If what is happening, it's the same scenario with each war, but in fact they are taking the drugs, selling the drugs, using the money to buy the arms to fight communists, and the end result is this country is flooded with drugs. Is that it? And they're doing this with each war in the name of fighting off communism? I mean, I'm asking.
I think it's more than just the drugs. I think that, did you see the others besides the one today, or?
I saw the one today and the one yesterday. Okay. I did not see the first one.
All right. In those two, certainly drugs has been a major focus of the scandal. There are a lot of other things involved too, in terms of people who are essentially acting supposedly in the name of the U.S. government and supposedly in our self-interest, which involves incredible amounts of assassinations that aren't necessarily directly drug related. But yes, I think that it's fair to say that the main justification that people give for doing this is that we live in a world where you cannot deal with the forces in the world in a completely open way, and not necessarily in a completely democratic way. So therefore, in order to protect the United States, in order to protect freedom, and I'm not being sarcastic at this point, I think this is really what, in fact, I just threw away a whole article and quotations of Oliver North of justifying his actions. And that's essentially what he was saying, is that it is necessary for people at high places in government to make decisions on behalf of the people without the people knowing, because if it was public, then it would blow the whole system. And in order to protect ourselves, that's necessary. And yes, communism is the main threat. So therefore, almost anything is justified in order to protect ourselves from communism.
But apparently, in some of these films, they showed where the communists knew what was going on more than the people of the United States.
I think that's true in some cases, yes. Yeah.
So are you saying then that the motives of these people that are involved in the CIA, their motives are good?
They're going against the Constitution. They're going above and beyond the whole procedure.
What do some of the rest of you think? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't believe we can assume that a communist government has to be an enemy. I think that's a false assumption, and it really upsets me that it seems that when the church leaders go to some of these places, they come back with one report, and when the politicians go, they come back with a contrary report. And hopefully our Christian leaders are honest. I'm not so hopeful about the politicians, so I would tend to think that there's a lot of people that come back with a lot of biased reports based upon information that they only want to hear. That's an opinion. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Others?
So, sure. Something that kind of really disturbs me about this whole deal is the lack of information we are getting from mainstream press and how that's really changing. That's, I think, pretty significant. And I think that, you know, most people really believe what they see on the normal 6 o'clock news, and that's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's just horrifying to begin to realize that we are definitely propagandized, that we get very manipulated kind of news that we oftentimes don't hear. I was really aware of that in the Iran-Contra hearings last summer when they had to haul some people out of the hearings that were holding signs saying, ask about the drug connection. I mean, there was an article in the paper, they haul these people out, and never once did they ask anything about the drug connection. They didn't want that. I mean, I guess my sense is that they didn't want that over public television. I mean, it just makes me feel that our news, our mainstream media news, is very manipulated, and that we are heavily propagandized. That we hear primarily what they want us to hear, and that's very distressing to me.
It's like someone's put a gag on the press, because in all these countries we've got other Americans who are living there, working there, and we haven't heard the other side. I mean, somebody obviously is hushing someone up, and that really disturbs me, because I've always been of the opinion that wasn't possible to do in this country. It looks like maybe it is.
I think it is possible to get the other side, but you have to go to alternative sources to do that. And in fact, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of times those sources are dismissed as, you know, left-wing biased communist sources. And some of them are just as manipulated as the other side are. I would be the first one to say that. But I think that there are some very, very valid and very trustworthy sources, but you have to get them. And I mean, I have subscriptions to, I read the mainline newspapers, but I also have subscriptions to things like In These Times, which is an alternative newspaper, and some stuff like that, which I think is excellent reporting and very, very good reporting, investigative reporting. But I think you have to get that.
Why is it that these sources don't have access to the mainstream press? Is it the journalists' own bias, or is there somebody pulling the strings of the journalists and saying, you know, stay away from these particular topics, or stay away from these individuals because they're not, they're anti-American, or
I think it has to do with the advertisers and owners of whatever stations there are. NBC is now owned by General Electric, which is one of the major weapon suppliers to the U.S., and that's got to have an impact.
Public broadcasting has come under a lot of criticism in the recent, in this administration, in recent years, the last year and a half especially. Some of their offices were burned. There's just the PBS system has really come under attack, and my sense is that at least some of that, the reason for that perhaps could be the fact that they are airing things like the Bill Moyer Journal, which was shown on Monday, and the Frontline Report, and it's one of the few ways that you can turn on your television set and get something besides the canned news that comes over the air at 6 o'clock.
I don't have any proof of this, but I'm very cynical. You're going back to a certain date and saying, well, this is when we first started to find out about it. These things have been going on, I feel, since whenever, and I think our journalism is great now. I think we're finding out more and more things that we never had any way of knowing. I don't know where it's going to end, but I think that we've been manipulated, and all these things they work out, and whoever's got enough money and enough power is handled this way, and I'm not saying it's justifiable, but I think our journalism is very good in some cases.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like that when you're really getting down at the truth, then you get into trouble. I think we can go back to the crucifixion and that Christ was the ultimate in truth and what we did to him. When we get down to the truth, boy, John Q. Public attacks it right away. And I try to follow Oliver North's trial a little bit. And then we try to make a hero out of what I appeared to me was a scoundrel. Defying the Constitution, there's no justification. Then we got to change the Constitution. Laws are not made to be broken at somebody's individual's or group's discretion. Then we don't have any law. And it seems that he was guilty. But we made a hero out of him in large circles.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was going to do is think about maybe taking that and draw it out, sort of a question or something to focus on, and this sort of comes back around to what I think you asked in terms of, do the people who are doing these things have good motivations? Mm-hmm. I would not say so, but I think they do, or a lot of times they do. I think some of them are simply in it for a profit, but I think for some there really is an ideology there. Which they very strongly believe that they really are doing what is necessary. I think the question becomes, in many ways, for us, and I think especially the Bill Moyers video brings this out, is where is the line where national security requires secrecy? Where's the line where some kind of national security requires some kind of extra government, outside of government activity? What essentially has happened is that, and the fear that is brought out in both the Bill Moyers and the Christic Institute videos, is that essentially you have a group of people and a sort of a community of people with a certain kind of ideology that have operated in certain ways regardless of what the U.S. government policy at that time was. In other words, during the Nixon years, these people worked for the CIA. When Jimmy Carter came into power, he did change some of the policies, and those people were no longer operating like they were before. But what happened was is that they went into business for themselves and essentially continued to influence U.S. policy, even though they were not even officially representing the government. That is what is really scary, is when you have a group of people who have that much influence, who have no accountability to the government and our system of representation. And just finally, I think then that brings us back to a question of those people who stand on the most adamant position of democracy, saying we have to do this for democracy, are the very ones that say, we can't trust the people to make these decisions. And so I think, you know, maybe we could talk about that a little bit in terms of do we believe? I mean, some people would even say that we ought to really seriously question whether we even need a National Security Act. That essentially before 1947, there was military intelligence, but we didn't have a CIA. We didn't have this sense of a need for some kind of agency that essentially worked so much in secrecy that even half the people in our representative government don't know what they're doing.
Can we do away with it at this point? Do they have too much power? I mean, could Congress do away with them? Does Congress have power?
Yeah.
But they still might continue to work. I mean, if they were willing to, you know, a new president came in and they couldn't work under him, and so they did their own thing, they still might do their own thing. I mean, you know, it'd be just, it's like the mafia.
And then when the chips are down, we just don't remember.
I'm right over here.
Well, I feel that it's going to go to the Supreme Court. We're going to see these cases that we're involved in now in regard to how to handle these people who were supposedly working for the administration, which has specific powers given to it by the Constitution. And their defense against these people being charged is going to be that the president has the superior power in certain instances. So I believe that these cases will ultimately get to the Supreme Court.
Well, the president did well for them.
Then the situation is going to be the political leanings or the established leanings that they have demonstrated in prior cases as to their political philosophy. And so I am really concerned about the upcoming election. As a referendum, like a majority vote in the United States, as to whose side people are on. And I'm bracing myself for what is going to come in this election, because for two elections now, I have been very, very much disappointed. I really feel the chances of a repetition of what's gone on for 8 years will create a situation that results in a lot of trouble for this country. But I have a particular view, and I gotta respect that if a majority of the people in the United States says what's been done for the last 8 years, and the people who are involved in it, I want to continue them in power, then I've got to, you know, be ready for this. But I sure am concerned, because the appointments to the Supreme Court, which will come in this next administration, will really tip the balance on the Supreme Court, that will make decisions for all of us. And I'm not sure that I will accept those decisions.
Sure.
Well, I had a chance to read, I was between two books this week, and one of them was Woodward's book on the secret activities of the CIA, and the other one was by James Michener on the Constitution, and I'm in the process of reading the Constitution. I really am concerned. I don't want to say that everything will go to pot, because that isn't the way the country works, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to continue a struggle if that goes on the way.
I heard Gary Hart, when he was running for president on Larry King's show, say one night that the American people aren't smart enough to form opinions. And I was really furious when he was running for president. And I feel like that's what all of those lawyers down there think about us.
I just think a lot of the problem, perhaps, is that this information hasn't been widely disseminated. And in the Bill Moyers Journal Monday, maybe those of you that saw it remember, towards the end, he interviewed a number of just
people like you and me, three women from Minnesota who were part of a church group that formed a committee, got their neighbors together and started organizing to put pressure on their local representatives to address some of these questions. And what they said, I thought, was kind of stark. They said that a lot of people in their area didn't want to hear, that basically they just didn't want to hear what they had to share, because they thought maybe once people hear what's really happening, then they know they have to do something. And it's uncomfortable to come face to face with these kinds of distressing facts. But nonetheless, they were able to organize a considerable number of people and address some really important issues. And there was a dairy farmer in Wisconsin that just started a little newspaper and circulated it to everyone in his town. I mean, I think just to sort of address what you're saying, that, you know, alone with our feelings, we really can't do a thing. But together and with the information that we have, we can do a lot, because as people begin to work together on the thing at hand, maybe it's putting pressure on your local representative or writing him every week or doing what we can do at the level that we're at and getting the information out, that a lot of things can happen. I think that's the only thing that's going to make any difference, is if this apathy among the voting public has sort of turned around and people rise up in large groups and say, we're damn mad about this and we're not going to stand for our country being ruined by a bunch of people with criminal intent, you know, a bunch of crooks.
People we never elected.
That's right. That's right. Spending our tax dollars, taking our tax money and going over and bringing drugs in from Nicaragua? No thanks.
Some of those people are 200% Americans.
200%? You know, yeah, everybody wraps themselves in the flag, but we still are a country of laws. And criminal behavior is still pretty well spelled out. And it's just public apathy, I think, that allows a lot of this to happen.
While he's going to put something on the board, I want to just respond to Shirley's comment. The community that I'm a part of in Minneapolis has been doing a vigil for the last 3 years in our senator's office once a week on Tuesday afternoons, and on Thursday afternoons at our other senators, just giving information to them about issues and concerns in Central America. And Senator Durenberger meets once or twice a year with a group to talk to them, and he has changed some of his views, and it takes a long time, but it's been a weekly presence in his office, going in at the end of the day, doing a silent prayer, and being nonviolent about it, but presenting them with facts and information. It takes a long time, but I agree with you, Shirley.
I appreciate saying what Senator Durenberger said, because I'm from Minnesota also, and I see the change. He's done it before election time. but I see basically we have two groups of people in this country. We have one group of people that are governed by economics. Dollars and cents are the most important thing in my life. I don't care what else happens. There's another group of people that says, well, I'm concerned about what happens to the people that are more disadvantaged than I am. That's where I see the conflict lying. Whether you're liberal or conservative or American Party or socialist or whatever it is, but that's where dividing line really lies, in my opinion.
I am a little bit disturbed with seeing this film, because I thought I was coming to more of a religious renewal, and I'm going home more disturbed than I am renewed. Mm-hmm. So I am wondering what the intent is here of showing this film.
that.
Well, I'm no longer the program associate here, so I... No,
I don't know how anyone else feels, but... Yeah.
Does anybody else want to respond?
I would like... No, I'd like to respond. I think that was just a...
I was more informed that I would get involved in.
Well, I came for religious renewal instead of starting to pick on the government, I think.
I guess what I'd like to say is that I really feel like that Holden sees itself as a place where religious renewal and involvement in the world can't be separated. Part of being renewed is also being aware of and being part of this world, and to see renewal as being sort of almost not wanting to hear that kind of stuff is a renewal that is probably I don't know what word to quite use there, but it's not the way in which I feel personally that we are really called to be faithful. I would hope that we would be able here to do something other than just showing you that and distressing you. I think we do have a responsibility to then try to make those connections for how we can empower people and renew them to then respond to those as well as in other ways too. And maybe we don't do as good a job of that as we could.
You want to respond?
Watching the film yesterday, and your comments in introducing the film and your comments this evening is that is gospel truth. Believe it, because that's the way it is. And I'm not prepared to accept that. Now, there may be people here that I've heard say, yep, that's the way it is. We've been duped. There it is. I don't think that's true. And I think that you've wrapped that around religious renewal, that's the truth. And that's how the world is. And I don't believe that.
Okay, I believe that.
Well, okay, and that's fine. And that's why I was delighted that there was an opportunity for dialogue.
Yeah.
Because yesterday, there it is, the film is over, and snow comes on the screen, and no one is here.
Let me just say, I agree with you that is not a good way to do it. And
I would like someone to come that is knowledgeable to refute that, or at least to present the other side of it, rather than to bring people together with one person as the expert, one person with the resources, and this is the way it is, and state, I believe that.
I'm really glad that you have presented an opposing view, or that, you know, wasn't previously expressed, because I think that's the purpose of this forum.
I hope it is.
Yes. I was pretty well aware of what the discussion would be around where we arrived just today. But I was hoping that we would have some opposing views. We are a mixed society, and we don't all agree. And I think if we assume that we can all agree on anything, it would be a mistake. It's just, how do we manage to resolve conflicts in our beliefs? And how do we reach acceptable decisions? And like I brought up the Constitution, that the Supreme Court is ultimately going to make those decisions for us on the issues that we've talked about today. That's what's going to be the law of the land. They're going to interpret what's happened in the last 4 years for us and make a decision, and then we're going to have to live with it. But I'm glad that you brought up their views. I think that that's really an expression of this place. What little I have learned so far is that it attempts to present questions in a way that people can find their way through some sticky issues.
I think Holden is a place where diverse expressions of belief can be expressed, and yet I do think it's important for all of us to not just have beliefs, but to have those beliefs based on some kind of objective reality. I mean, if we're talking about the physical material world in which we live, and the one thing I've really appreciated about all these videos is that they are not simply presenting one side of an issue. I thought today's video, but Monday's too, it goes back and forth. It interviews various people. It interviewed General Secord today saying, gosh, there's absolutely no involvement. I don't know of any involvement at all, and the CIA is doing absolutely nothing wrong. And then it interviews a number of other people that work there that are saying, this is what I saw, this is what I participated in, this is what happened. Now, you draw your own conclusions and you can say, I'm just not going to accept any of this. But I think that then you owe it to yourself to base that on some kind of objective fact, to search out the issue. What is, what are you basing your opinion on? Why don't you believe it? Is it just that you don't want to? Or do you have evidence that this isn't true?
I have the same evidence that you have, that what you saw today.
Uh-huh.
You heard someone that has said, I saw this, and you heard someone else to say, this didn't go on.
Right.
Now, to say either one of those is absolutely factual, I don't think we have it all. And that is what my concern is, is that that I didn't see Monday's tape, but I saw yesterday's and today's. And for anyone to say that either one of those was an objective presentation is living in a fairyland. That both of those had a message to deliver, a very slanted message to deliver.
So you're saying you don't believe that they were objective?
I do not believe that they were objective. I'm not saying that they were untruthful, but I don't believe that they were presented in an objective light.
Well, Dixon, then, do you want to respond?
Well, I'm not sure. It was all new to me, except that I really appreciate his viewpoint, and he said it better than I could have. But maybe it's just because I'm a skeptic. But I had some skepticism as far as listening to all of that and saying, yeah, this is really the way it is. I'm not sure that that's really the way it is, even after hearing it. It fed me some new information I hadn't heard before, but I certainly didn't soak it in as this is the way it is. And also, this gentleman back here, I forgot your name.
Harold Sankin.
Harold. Anyway, I really appreciated his comments also, because along with him, if I had been coming here for a spiritual renewal, I would be disappointed with this. It's too political for spiritual renewal.
Anybody want to respond to that? Sure.
Yeah. I guess I have sort of a real political spirituality, so it's very spiritual to me. One of my favorite verses is in Micah. What does the Lord require? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. Now can we know how to do justice if we don't know what's going on? So one of the things I appreciate about Holden and why it is spiritual for me is that we do have this wealth of information here presented to us. So for me, it is a very renewing place. And like these videos are a good example of.
Well, I appreciate your perspective, but I have my hands full doing mercy and justice and kindness to those people that are right around me every day without tackling the world in a broader sense in this point in my life, and maybe in some point I will, but that's not where God has me right now or my role. So I can appreciate that, but still I would be disappointed if this were spiritual renewal time.
I have to say too that Poland is a beautiful place, but I am concerned about the church more than anything else. I have problems in the local church, and I thought maybe that there were more things that would help me go back home and be a better church member and a better Christian.
Okay, upstairs. In response to what Sherry said and this woman down here too, I work a lot with individual situations. I teach special education students, and so spend a lot of time with dealing with the mercy and compassion that you have to give to those kids, and I get a real narrow perspective of the world. And I come to Holden for the renewal that's here in terms of the worldwide view of what we as Christians are called to do, and not just keep me looking in the small box, because even though I only serve a small box and deal with a small group of people, they're really affected by what is going on in the world. The fact that we don't have enough money in education to deal with our kids is because of some of the things that our government's doing. And then that's part of my Christianity and spirituality in terms of what I do and what I believe.
Well, I go to the senior center in a town of 10,000 every day, and the government just passed that catastrophic health insurance. And I understand, I went to two different meetings and read two different papers, that only 7% will gain from that. And I eat at a table with six people, and I've never heard one person mention that. So I think this place is just wonderful, because it opens up your eyes, and there won't be such a thing as religion if we don't wake up, because I think it's not the government, people, it's the government for themselves.
I really appreciate what Harold said also, that we came here for spiritual renewal, and that's what I came here for also. And I think that the people that came with us came here for that reason. But I guess I feel for myself also that I am in a smaller community, and I need to get a broader perspective, and I think we all need to get a broader perspective. I think the fact that such a small percentage of the people even vote in elections says we don't really care what anybody else does. And we all live in this world together, how many billion there are, we don't know, but we're just a few hours away from the farthest one, and we're moving into an era we've got to be concerned about each other. It'd be awfully nice if I could just look at like it was when my grandfather was dead, you know. We got a little ethnic group around here of about 45, 50 families, and the rest of the world go hang, and I don't care. But we're not living in that anymore, and I guess I'd like to learn how I can be more effective, not only in my small group, but also in my state, in the United States, and the entire world. And I don't agree with all we say here. I don't expect you to agree with all I say. And in fact, sometimes I say things just to see how I'm going to get a reaction. To be honest with you.
I'm
going to
say that we have 10 minutes left, so if there are concerns that people want to raise, we have that amount of time to do it in.
I'm a little concerned at what I'm hearing around it. A lot of people seem to be expressing the opinion that somehow getting involved in the broader issues of the world is going to interfere with their spirituality. So if I have to be this little person communing with God and not aware of the world, and how can you be a Christian without being concerned for the oppressed people of the world? How can you be a Christian without reaching out in love to other people? And I don't think that just means the person across the street or the person across from the table. I think it's got to include the whole world, because we are a world that is shrinking, and we are all interconnected. And there is no longer going to be these isolated little communities. Everything that happens in the world affects every other part of the world.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll applaud you because there are some of us that cannot juggle that many balls, even though we'd like to. So those people that can juggle that many balls, I really applaud them. But I can't. I have my hands full with three teenagers. And I know that my world and my perspective right now is small. I know it. I'm aware of it. But I do the best I can with what I have to work with.
There was a comment back here. Did somebody want to say something?
I really heard that last statement, and I think that explains a lot of where many people are, because if, you know, a person with family responsibilities or a lot of job stresses and so on really does not have a lot of time to deal with anything but the immediate issue, and I really understand that, and I really appreciate that. For some of us who maybe have gone through that phase, there's come a new era, and I think in my own life, now that I don't have any specific family responsibilities anymore, I have sensed real growth, and as I have seen more of the global picture in terms of also my political responsibilities. And I guess it happened once in a courtroom where a friend's son was being accused of something, and I saw something about a justice system that I didn't think was fair. And I began to think about my responsibilities as a citizen. And so it may not be the time for some of us to get involved in global issues. But for me, spiritual growth means that as I realize, and I not only have that I pray about, you know, prayers of, you know, the omissions, the things that I don't do, I think I'm also responsible for that. And if I, as a citizen now, at my stage of life, having a little bit more time, if I don't take responsibility for helping moral and ethical decisions of my government, I think, too, that is something that needs forgiveness. And as I must grow in spiritual growth, I must recognize where my responsibility is. My responsibility at another time was to a closer circle, but now I think it's a wider circle. And each of us has to find her or his own circle of responsibility and deal with that. And I think we can lay guilt trips on ourselves if we feel I'm not doing enough. And I don't think you should lay a guilt trip on yourself because you're not active in something wider. Right now, your call, your ministry is to your immediate circle. But God may give us opportunities at different stages of our lives to become involved. And that's spiritual growth as we see where God calls us to act, for me at least.
Thank you.
I guess it was beautifully said. And I guess I want to just reflect for a second in terms of Holden's role in what we're trying to do. As I was saying, I don't know your name, I'm sorry.
Gary.
I think you're absolutely right that we usually don't necessarily just throw videos that are up on the screen and not have a chance to talk about them. That is why we're doing this tonight. It probably would have been better to have had that right afterwards. And for a number of reasons, basically for some balance this week, we put those on, and probably as much as anything else, because I happen to be leaving in 2 days and my life is rather hectic, I didn't get down here and do that, and other people haven't done that either. That's not meant to be an excuse, that's meant to say, I think you're right. And I do believe, and my comment to say that I do believe generally that the perspectives given are basically what I think is fairly true. I said that, not, I hope it didn't come across as some flippant way of, well, that's what Holden is doing, but as a way of saying, I'm trying to reveal my own position, and to say that at the same time, I really do think that Holden has a responsibility to provide an atmosphere where disagreement can take place.
And that's super. To hold that up and say, hey, look at this and deal with this.
Okay. Well,
but not to say, look at this, this is true and follow this.
Okay, well,
and that's what I've heard.
Okay, I guess I apologize if that's been the case, because I'm usually, and I think people who know me know that in terms of programs here, I usually try to be sure that we don't do that. I don't recall, when I introduced the video yesterday, I simply recall trying to give an update on the court case. I certainly did not intend, and I don't think I did say, this is true. And tonight I was asked to come and just simply be a resource person for this and to comment. I want to be very clear about where I stand. I don't see any need to hide that. At the same time, I'm sorry if I've come across as saying as though there's no way that we should disagree. I was trying in the forum even to try to bring us back to questions of where are the lines. That was my attempt, at least, to make the discussion one of really discussing a particular issue that we could come at from different sides. And I guess, obviously, I didn't do that in a way that was big. So anyway, I'm trying to say, I think your concerns about how we do this are extremely important, and I'm sorry if it's come across that way. But,
Are there ways that the Holden program can help to tie some of these things together, you know, so that it does become a time of spiritual renewal as we are opened, you know? I don't know what could the program do that would help to make the connections a little better, maybe? Maybe that's one of the concerns. It doesn't seem to be a time of renewal. I don't know. I'm just phrasing it.
I think the country is really caught up in the election process.
In the
what? The election process. And I think maybe waiting until that has been decided in November, I don't know whether people can handle coming here for discussions on strictly political things between now and November. I think you might get to, because of the feeling in the country, you might have this. But I think part of it's just a result of the increasing tensions before the election.
I think we have to continually challenge our government and our representatives. Doesn't make any difference if they're our next door neighbor or buddy that's elected, or if it's somebody that we never did like. It doesn't make any difference. We still got to challenge them individually and collectively. The minute we stop challenging our government, we're going to end up with a government that led to World War II.
I think we have one more comment. It's time to end, and then we'll do a short closing. Sherry, want to make that comment?
Yeah. I guess I kind of noticed this last week that all of the sessions haven't been political. There's been some on grief. There's been some on dream work. And I always kind of wonder why we don't ask, how do we relate that to our Christianity? We just kind of single out politics. Doesn't jive. You know, why don't we say, how do we make grief work with our spirituality? I think it's all kind of interrelated.
With that, that's our last word for the night, except for I get the very last word. I just want to reiterate what I said in the beginning, that this is indeed a time for a variety of opinion, and I'm pleased that we've had it this evening. I'm a good Midwesterner, and I don't like conflict real much, so. So it's always, I'm always tense of these things. But I'm always glad that this happens. And I think the forum is an important part of the life of Holden Village. It is a time for us to bring together the pieces of the community, the pieces of the program, the pieces of our lives together. And hopefully, that's one of the pieces that you're talking about up there. Evelyn, do you want the very, very
well, last one? I think it also gives us something in our prayer life when we recognize, Lord, we don't know the truth. Lead us into the truth. Lead us into being responsible citizens. Christian life is never meant to be just real simple and calm. When we are disturbed, then we're growing. And that's a chance for us to grow in our prayer. And so there is no reason why our spiritual life can't grow on the basis of this evening as we go on and pray for our government and for our people and for the world's people and for our own responsibility.
For me to think of the Holden prayer, which says that we are led down paths that we're not sure of, but give us faith and courage to go, good faith and courage to go out and face those challenges in our lives. Thank you for coming this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.